Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Christmas is a great time of year when we give new gifts and we celebrate old traditions. And as I'm getting ready for my first Christmas in Taiwan, which is another new thing, we love to embrace the new, but I'm just reflecting on some of the old traditions that I've grown up with in my family. And I think of Christmas, how Christmas Eve, we always would get together with our closest family friends. So every Christmas Eve is the same. And they are like over-the-top Christmas people, two or three Christmas trees. You know, everything is Christmas. All the plates, all the napkins in the bathroom, all the floor mats, everything's Christmas. And that would always just be fun, getting together with them. And I'm excited for a new tradition here, Christmas Eve service, singing Christmas carols. I love the music of Christmas. So invite y'all back for our Christmas carol service. It's going to be so much fun. But we do that Christmas Eve, and then Christmas morning, we would get up and just do that as a family. And Christmas afternoon would be just an open house at my brother's house. He would just always do open house. Anybody could come. People would just drop in all afternoon. But Christmas morning was special for just the family. And we would all bring our gifts together to my mom's house, and we'd eat breakfast. And my mom always would make oyster chowder. It's kind of our family thing. It's big old oyster, like clam chowder, but with big old oysters. And so I crave oyster chowder at Christmas time. But another thing, you know, you get all this good breakfast food out there. And then a thing I didn't enjoy so much when I was young is we'd always have to read through the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. And my dad would read, and we'd want to open the presents, and we'd want to eat the breakfast, but, you know, we'd all have to sit there. And so I have kind of a love-hate relationship a little bit with the Christmas story. Every Christmas, having to sit through and listen to it while waiting to open up gifts. But there's one verse that always stands out from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to pull it up on the screen. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. There you go. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, we've been doing this series called Emmanuel, God with Us. And we talked about how Christmas came at a time when the geography was right, the time was right, and the way that Jesus came in the incarnation. Then we talked about how Jesus was the humble king. And today we're going to talk about how Jesus is our Savior. Because we need a Savior. And so today, quick overview of the service. We're going to be talking about how we need a Savior because he's come to rescue us. He's come to reconcile us. And he's come to reset us. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you needed to be rescued. Anybody here been in a place where you like life-threatening situation and you needed to be rescued? And I was thinking, when have I been in a life-threatening situation when I needed to be rescued? And I thought back to when I was working in our family business. I was down in South America, in Chile, and with our company there. And one afternoon, kind of late in the evening after the day, our COO, he said, "Let's go skiing." And outside of Santiago, like less than an hour, just like a half an hour away, there's this big ski center. And so we drove out, and all I had on was jeans and a warm-up jacket. So we're out there, and we get up on the mountain, and nighttime snow skiing. So the lights are just coming on. It's twilight, and this blizzard rolls in. We're the last two guys on the ski lift going up because it's just whiteout conditions. And they shut the lift down. We get to the top, and I'm a horrible skier. I mean, I'm really bad. I barely know how to stop and turn. And so we get up to the top of the mountain, and the CEO, he takes off. And I'm trying to go down the hill, and there's no snow left on the mountain. Everything's up in the air. It's just all whiteout conditions. And it's like trying to ski on ice. And it's bang, 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 bang. And I'm, of course, can't turn very well, can't stop very well. So most of my time, I'm sliding on the ground and rolling on the ground and trying to find where my ski go, you know. And I just think, man, I'm going to die here on this mountain. I'm freezing to death. I can't see anything because it's just blizzard. And I'm gonna die in South America. And so, but then I see, you know, the ski patrol comes in what are they called? Snowmobiles, you know, and so they come and they find me and they rescue me, put me in the back with my skis, and we go down the mountain, which is a little embarrassing for a guy, you know, just like, especially because the ski patrol, a person who found me was this pretty girl, you know, and we can't communicate too well, but, you know, at least she's pretty. So there you go. And I was single. So that was the highlight of what was otherwise a bad situation. But, you know, we get in those moments in life, and the truth is we all are in need of a Savior, every single one of us, whether we realize it or not, you and I. And so Jesus, God came as a Savior. And it took us totally by surprise. It took the Jews by surprise because they were not looking for a Savior. They were looking for a liberator. They were looking for a champion. And instead, God sent a child. They had been oppressed and beaten down. And they were looking for someone to beat back this Roman oppression. And instead, God sent a little baby. And this is the story of the incarnation. This is the story of Christmas, how God comes in unexpected ways to rescue us. The Jews were hoping for an invasion, and instead, they got an incarnation. Totally different from what they expected. And when God comes into our lives, it is rarely in a way that we expect, but it's in a way that we totally need. God surprises us. And it's different from what we expected, but it's better than we imagined. And this is what you'll find as you embrace Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God has come to set us free. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, Jesus announces why he came. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to preach good news to the poor." In other words, Jesus came for those who are in poverty. And sometimes that's financial difficulty. Some of us I know are probably, with COVID and everything, in places of financial difficulty. Others of us are in places of poverty of soul. We're missing the relationships or the life that we once knew or the life that we long for. And Jesus said, I've come to bring good news to you. That what you're missing, the poverty that your soul is in, that your life is in, God says, I've come to supply. He goes on to say, God has sent me to proclaim captives will be set free. And if we find ourselves in our lives bound up, areas that we just can't seem to break free from, addictions in our lives, past memories that grip us, and every time we hear a certain thing or see a certain thing, we slip into depression or anger or frustration. Jesus said he's come to set the captives free. Those that are blind will see. If you are have difficulty seeing a better future for yourself, understanding where you're headed in life, God says he's going to open the eyes of the blind and that the oppressed will be set free. If you feel your life under oppression, feel like things are not going, your people are against you, circumstances are oppressing you, Jesus said he's come to set the oppressed free. And talk about the year of God's favor, God's goodwill towards men. God loves you. As has often been said, God is not mad at you. He's mad about you. God wants to bring goodness into your life. He wants to express his love in you and to you. This is what Christmas is. This is what the incarnation is. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says that Jesus came into the very world he created, and the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Jesus came to the Jews. Jesus, the Son of God, born as a man, came to this world that he created, and we rejected him. So we wonder why there's this division between us and God. It's because we've rejected God. We so often think of the ways that God has rejected us, and we feel rejected by God, but the truth is that we're the ones who rejected God. We're the ones who pushed God away. And so it starts with us, our rejection of God, our sin. And it actually goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. How they wanted to find independence from God. They wanted to reject God. They wanted to no longer be dependent on Him. And so they rejected His ways. And what happened? They discovered how desperate they were for God. That without God, their lives are headed for destruction and death. They didn't realize it was God alone that was keeping them alive. And so they went from this life of total freedom, all of the garden, everything that God had created at their disposal, dominion over the earth and all that it is, and the privilege of caring for it and reaping the bounty of it. And because they rejected God, they rejected all of God's goodness. And so you and I, we find ourselves reaping that same rejection. We find ourselves so often imprisoned in our lives and not able to accomplish the things that we want or find the joy, the life, the goodness, the freedom that we've been looking for. And I don't know if you've ever been in prison. I've been in prison a couple of times, but not as a prisoner, which is a good thing. But I can remember when I was in Bible college studying, there's a federal prison in Oregon and in a few cities away. And they were looking for someone to come and do an Easter service. And so they got some of us. They said, Bruce, would you put together a team and go and do an Easter service in the federal prison? And federal prison's kind of no joke. That's worse than the local prison. And so we went to the federal prison, a bunch of college students. And we began to sing, this worship team of students that we put together, all the prisoners stood up and just began to raise their hands in worship. And as I began to preach, I tell you, I've never had a more responsive crowd. They're amen to everything. People were standing up. They were just, because here's the truth. The gospel speaks to prisoners. They understand what it means to be in prison. You and I, because we see ourselves as still free, we don't realize that our souls are still in a prison of our own sin. We don't realize our need for a rescuer. We think we're doing okay, but really we're living on borrowed time. But those who are in a physical prison, when you talk about Jesus coming and setting the captives free, when you talk about Jesus breaking out of the grave to break us out of our graves, they easily relate to that. And that was just the most responsive crowd. They identified with it. And I want to tell you, when we begin to realize really our need for God, then we begin to understand the joy of the message of Christmas, that you and I, we have offended God. We've rejected Him. And we're in need of forgiveness because we are all guilty of rejecting God. We're all guilty of sin, and all that sin is rejecting God and His ways, the freedom and the goodness that He offers us, because it all comes as a package. And it's all in a package and relationship with Him. When we reject that relationship with God, we reject all that He brings with us. The good news is that God forgives us of our sins. He has unilaterally decided to say, you know, I want to offer you pardon. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this: But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. This is what God offers us. He not only forgives us, but He cleanses us. It's like this: our sin, the sin that we're born with, this rejection of God that we've been born into, it's like COVID, but only worse. It's like COVID, but it's 100% contagious. Everybody is, it's in our DNA. We are born with it in us. It's like we've got this, what does it call that sickness when it's in your genes, genetic, there you go. We've got this genetic sickness that we've been born with that is 100% contagious and 100% fatal. That's what sin is in our lives. But Jesus has not only offered a cure, but He's also offered to cleanse us from everything that would keep us from God. In other words, it's not only like we get healed of COVID and totally vaccinated from COVID. And it's a vaccination that you don't have to keep taking again, one time fits all. But he also makes a way for us to get to heaven. You know, when we came to, if you've traveled at all during COVID, you know, it's just this whole big thing nowadays, right? You got to get all these clearances and documentation that I don't have COVID and I've got my shots and okay, you can fly. And so we have to show that we are 100% COVID free if we want to travel. And it's kind of like getting to heaven. You got to be 100% sin free if you want to get to heaven. And Jesus alone, he has dealt with our sin problem, this COVID problem that we've had. But we also, even if you're sin-free, COVID-free, coming to Taiwan, like when my wife and I tried to come here, before as Americans, you know, we used to be able to just come anytime, hop on a plane, you can come. But now you have to have a visa, and all these visas are now restricted. You know, you have to have these special visas, and it's so difficult. And for a while, they weren't giving out any visas. And it's kind of like heaven. There's no visa to get there. You know, we thought we could just get there as long as we're good enough. And God said, actually, no. But then Jesus made a way for us. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who believed him and accepted him, if we will simply receive Jesus, trust him, just say, God, I want to renew the relationship that Adam and Eve rejected so long ago. He gave them the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And here's the great thing, that God offers us the visa to heaven because we're family. And I can remember, you know, as we were trying to get this visa to come to Taiwan, and we had a friend who was married to a Taiwanese, and they were not going to give him a visa, but he just kept hammering and hammering. He said, I'm married to a Taiwanese. I can come. And finally, they relented and let him in because he could prove that he was family to a Taiwanese person. And God says, you are now family. So you have a family visa to heaven. So not only has God taken care of your sin, your COVID problem, so that you can travel, but God has also taken care of your visa problem. And so this is God's rescue for us. God has rescued us, and all of us are in need of a Savior. But it doesn't stop there. The second thing that God has done, he's reconciled us. You see, it's one thing to have our sin problem taken care of and say that we've got a visa now, legally we're okay. But the incarnation was not just about us getting to heaven. It was about restoring our relationship with God. And there's a big difference between being legally okay to have a relationship and actually having a friendship. Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus alone can reconcile us together again. We who've rejected God and broken off that relationship with him, God now wants to reconcile that relationship. I can remember in New York City, in the church that we were at, we were in the basement of this brownstone. And so above us was all these people who lived there. And they didn't like a church being there because we always made noise. We opened up our church office to all these high school students there's two high schools in our area. And so after school, there are always problems, kids fighting, kids getting knifed, beat up. And so we opened up our space because these schools were just kind of the bottom rung of all kids at risk. And so we would open up our office as a safe place for kids to hang out. So every afternoon, we'd get like 100 kids in there and just tearing the place apart. And then at night, we'd have classes and worship. And our neighbors hated us being there, you know. So they actually finally sued us, took us to court to make us be quiet and stop being a church. You know, stop having kids there and stop doing church things. And so we went to court. And the judge did this. He said, you know what? I'm not going to rule. Because even if I rule and give you a legal ruling, you'll be back here 6 months later. Because if you can't get along, you're going to find a way to keep on fighting. And he said, rather than give a legal ruling and having you back here 6 months later, you guys just going to have to learn to get along. You're going to have to learn to get together. And so he just left it at that and said, it's on you guys. I don't want to see you back here. I'm not ruling. Go see a mediator. You know, come to an agreement where you guys can live together. Because if you come back here, it's not going to go well for either of you. And I thought, you know, that is a picture of what Jesus did. It's not just about being legally able to have a relationship with God, but it's actually restoring the friendship, the goodwill, the grace. And that's why when Jesus came, he said, it's not only joy, it's there's goodwill. God's goodwill towards us. He wants to restore, even though we rejected him, he wants to restore the relationship with us. And this is what Jesus did. He came to restore our relationship with the Father. But also he came to restore our relationships with each other. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And there is this huge wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. See, in the ancient world at Jesus' time, the world was very divided and very hostile. It started with the Greeks and the barbarians. The Greeks said, here's us, the Greek people. And here's the rest of the world, the barbarians. And they are just horrible. And the Greek philosophers would say, you know, it's right that we as the Greeks would rule over the barbarians because, you know, common sense shows us that we're far superior to them in every way. And the Jews felt the same way about everybody else. And so it was the Jews versus the Gentiles. And it was the Romans versus the barbarians. And so the world was just this divided thing where there was the first class and then there was the second class. And that second class was treated as a whole different. You couldn't eat with Gentiles. Jews couldn't eat with Gentiles. You didn't want to be around them. They couldn't come into your home or into your temples. So when Christ came and salvation started to come, the early Christians thought, Gentiles, they can't even be saved. They're like dogs. It's like, can an animal be saved? No. Even though all dogs go to heaven. He said, no, they're a whole different class of being from who we are. And Jesus broke this down. He broke down that middle wall, not only between groups of peoples, Jews and Gentiles, but between individuals. And he showed us how to be reconciled. There's three simple steps for reconciliation. If you find yourself estranged, broken relationships with others, Jesus gave us three simple things. He said, first of all, you go. Jesus, in order to reconcile us, even though we rejected God, God came to us. So reconciliation begins with us going. First of all, go to God. Go to God about that relationship and say, God, I want to restore this relationship. Or maybe you don't even want to. But you say, God, I don't want to restore this relationship, but I know that I should because you've restored your relationship with me and I need to restore my relationship with them. So you say, God, I need your help. Help me to see. Help me to see what I've done wrong. And then ask for forgiveness and repent. Help me to see how I've made this person feel. Help me to see why they're this way and to see really inside that person. And God will help you if you ask him. And then go to that person. But it starts by going to God. Because if you go in your anger, if you go in your hurt, if you go in your offense, it's just going to get worse. That's why we go to God first. And then we go to the person. We go to God and God's given us this thing. He says, he's given us this gift called repentance. That we own our part in the broken relationship. So what have I done? And it might be just 0.1% that you've contributed. Well, you take care of that 0.1% first. You take care of your part because that's the only part you have control over. You take care of what you've done wrong. You lay down your life. This is what Jesus said. I came to lay down my life. And he invites us to do the same. And so you go to God. You go to that person. And then you listen. You hear out their heart. Hear how they've felt. Hear how you hurt them or maybe why they hurt you. Take a moment and listen. Understand them. Jesus came as a little baby. Not just to show us that he understood us, to walk in our shoes and to feel what we felt. to make sure that we know that he understands us. And when you go to someone, you want to reconcile with them. You need to let them know that I'm sincere. I really want to understand how I've made you feel. I really want to understand from your perspective how this break happened. Because I am serious about seeing this relationship restored. So we listen. We go, we listen, and then we love. This is what Jesus did. He came. He spent the first 30 years of his life not proclaiming, but just listening. Living amongst us. And then he showed his love for us by dying on the cross. Because he said, this is what they need. And in the end, we love in the way that they need. Sometimes that's just being silent and listening. Other times it's speaking the truth in love. But our listening helps us to begin to understand what it will take to see this relationship reconciled, restored. Restoring the relationship requires connection. It's not just that we are able, legally now, okay, but now we are back in relationship. You go, you listen, and you love. The third thing that Jesus did for us after rescuing us, after reconciling us, is that now he's resetting us. He's restoring us to what we were created to be. Scripture says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and new life has become. You get a fresh start. But whatever you've messed up, whatever junk has gotten into your life, the ways that you've failed God, failed others, failed yourself, Jesus says, I'm giving you a fresh start. I'm giving you a reset. If you've lost your way, you know, sometimes my computer, it loses its way. And you get that wheel of death. Just, and all you can do is just say, okay, reset. Sometimes it's just a simple reset, right? Turn it off, turn it back on again. Sometimes if it's really damaged, you got to do the factory reset. That's the hard reset. Go back to the way that the manufacturer intended for this machine to work because you have messed it up. And so we have so much often messed up our lives. You look around the world around us, I can tell you, this is not the way God intended the world to work, where we're destroying the world around us, where we're fighting with each other, where we live under these constant threats for each other, and we work so hard just to try to put food on the table. And then the stuff in the food makes us all sick, you know? God says, I'm offering you a reset. I'm going to make things new. When you come to Christ, I'll make everything new. But then he says this as well. 1 Corinthians chapter verse 18 and 19. He says, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So what is it? We receive Jesus who reconciles us to God. But then God not only reconciles us to him, but then he gives us, in the same way that Jesus reconciled us to God, he gives us the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile others back to God and to help others be reconciled with each other. God, through Jesus, through the incarnation, not only does that give us this path to heaven, but it helps us to live here on earth. To live on earth in a love relationship, in this favorable relationship with God, what we call a grace relationship, where God is for us, not against us, where God is on our side, where God loves to talk to us, walk with us, give us help and direction. This is what God intended. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, God's intention was that Adam and Eve would walk every day with God and God would help them in whatever they need, not only in all that he supplied for them, but also in the companionship and the wisdom that he brought to them. See, that's life as God intended it. when Jesus resets us, that's what he's resetting us to, relationship with the Father. Some of us, we've grown up with this sense of religion where God is just looking to punish us, where God is rejecting us because we rejected him. But the truth of Christianity is that God has always loved us. God has always desired a relationship with us. But this COVID that we had and this lack of a visa, God has taken care of those problems that separate us. And now God wants us to see him as he truly is, the loving Father who not only wants to supply all that we need in abundance, but wants to walk with us and share in it together and to help us through our growing pains and to help us through and to teach us and to cause us to grow into maturity in him. This is what God's desire is for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors." God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." See, God calls us lost when we don't know him. Because all of us, when we're born into this world, we're born as God's lost children. In other words, he already has a love relationship towards us. And he doesn't view us as strangers. He views us as lost children. And there's a different passion when your kids are lost. I often talk about how in my family, we've got six kids. And with the six kids, oftentimes, you know, one would get lost here or there. My parents never said, you know, let's just finish dinner. We got five. If we can't find them, it's going to be okay. We got five left, you know. No, it's the lost one that the focus is on. And so Jesus is saying here, those of you who know me, those of you who experienced rescue and reconciliation, you now need to go after the others who are lost. You need to also have my heart. The heart that caused me to come from heaven to earth, to go to listen, to love, you need to now go listen, love, and bring others back to Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfading love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. This is the incarnation. Jesus came to show us unfailing love and faithfulness in our friendship. He showed it so that as we see him, the way that he loved us, unfailing love, faithful friendship, we then can love in the same way. That's what we need in life. We need to be people of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we need to share unfailing love and faithfulness. And it only comes as we embrace and receive love from Christ. That's what begins to heal our hearts and provides in our lives a foundation from which we can love others. And throughout history, this has been the testimony of those who love and faithfully follow Christ. This past week, I was just struck by something I saw on social media. News. There was a policeman who was killed in Texas, shot in the line of duty as he was going to help. There was a domestic quarrel between a husband, a wife, and the girlfriend he was having an affair with. And so this police got called to go and to help take care of it. Didn't know that there was a gun there. Didn't know that actually when he went, he thought it was just the wife and the girlfriend having a fight, didn't even know the husband was there. But as he arrived, the gunman shot him, killed him. That week, his daughter was supposed to speak in church, and he had been encouraging her and saying, "We got you, we're there." Ended up, instead of speaking in church, his 18-year-old daughter ended up speaking at her father's funeral. Such a powerful and moving speech as she got up and just began to say, you know, as a follower of Christ, when my father tells me about people that he's arrested, my heart always goes out to them. Because generally those who get arrested are sinners who don't know Christ. And my heart is always that they would know Christ. And I've always wanted to be able to share Christ with those who are away from him. And people would tell me that if it was my father, because my dad would share at times people who've other police who've lost their lives in the line of duty. And I said, even those who've shot other policemen, I want them to know Christ. And my friends would tell me, it'll change if that was your dad who was shot. She said, and today it's my dad that's shot. And I got to tell you, it hasn't changed. She said, when I heard that the gunman survived, I was, in one sense, relieved. Yes, there was anger. Yes, there was sadness. But there was also relief because my hope is that one day I'll be able to sit across the table from that man. Not to yell at him. Not to lash out at him. But to tell him that Jesus loves him. I tell you, that's the heart of Christianity. And we've seen it through the ages. Christians being persecuted, being martyred for their faith, and in those moments still loving even the people who are persecuting or killing them. And you and I, we may not face anything so traumatic or tragic, but we have opportunities all the time to share the love of Jesus, to be ministers of reconciliation for those who've never experienced the love of God, the rescue of Jesus, the reconciliation that only the gospel can bring between groups of people and between individuals. But it starts with us receiving his love. And so this morning, I want to just take a moment and give us an opportunity. If you've never received the love of Jesus, this is a great day to do it at a Christmas service. As we celebrate the incarnation 2,000 years ago of Jesus coming to earth as a little baby, this morning, today could be a time when that incarnation could become real to you. And Jesus, the life of Jesus, could come into your life. And you could experience the rescue that only Jesus can bring, the reconciliation with the Father that only he can bring, the reset in your life that only he can bring. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we are so thankful for your great gift of love for Jesus, who gave his life for us that we could find life, that we could become your sons and daughters. And Father, we ask today that you would forgive us of our sins and we repent and turn from that lifestyle of rejecting you. And instead, we repent and we embrace you and say, Jesus, we want to receive your love. We want to receive your goodness. We want to turn from that rejection and be reconciled. So Jesus, come into our hearts. Forgive us of our sins. Be our Savior. And Lord, for those of us who know you, our prayer is that this Christmas season, Lord, we would take that ministry of reconciliation, that we would go, that we would listen, and that we would love. And that reconciling love of God, we would minister it to others, to share with them the good news that joy has come, that love has come, that peace has come, that hope has come, and that it is offered to them today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.